I like to prepare a message that you can remember in one word. And all you have to do is think of that word, and you can remember the whole message. Now, when I'm sitting out there and somebody's preaching, I just take a few key words. I've tried for years to do a little outline for every speaker. It's almost impossible to do. Because number one, I lose them, or they're too long, I don't read them. But when you break it down to one word, it triggers, and it should be a key word that triggers your memory. Just like when you, I happened to be with a man the other day, and he was smoking a pipe. Now, I'm not condoning smoking a pipe, but that pipe reminded me years ago, 50-some years ago, my uncle used to smoke a pipe, and it just brought back all those memories. And just like an aroma or a smell, an odor, reminds you of something, there should be a word in a message that's a key word that reminds you of the message, that you can remember it, that it brings it back. Brother Bob preached a message recently, just do it. But I remember that whole message. I can remember the things you're supposed to do. You're supposed to show up. You're supposed to work hard. You're supposed to live right. And you're supposed to go and fight the battles. And you won't fight them alone, because God will be with you. So that's what I try to do. Break it down to, and I'm not a mathematician by any means, to break it down to the lowest common denominator, whatever that means. But I want to speak to you today about worship. And worship is something that we sometimes just take for granted. You know, showing up and being here in church is one thing. You're supposed to show up. That's the first step. But there's more to it than just showing up. And worship can become just a habit. Now, there's a saying that says if you do something for 21 days in a row, it becomes a habit. And of course, there's good habits, there's bad habits. But many times for people, worship becomes just a habit. And then after a while, it becomes a chore. Do I have to? We had a bird build a nest right by my office door on top of a wreath. And that, I didn't even know it was there. I never saw it until the babies were there and they were in the nest. And they had their mouth open. I'd go by the door, they'd open their mouth. They thought I was their mother or their father. But that mother would come there and she would feed them, and she would bring worms, and it was a robin. And robins like worms for some reason. And she would feed them. They were there and their mouth was open. They wanted to be fed. And same way when you go to worship, you have to want to worship, and you have to want to be fed. And I'm talking about spiritual food. A lot of times during the worship service, people are thinking about what they're going to have for lunch. They start getting hungry and they lose focus. Someone said that we only retain 15% of what we hear when we're listening. So if you're listening and you can only remember 15% of what's being said, if you're not listening, you're not gonna remember anything. You gotta have a key word. The key word today is worship. There's a couple others. But what happens is our worship gets out of focus and we forget why we're worshiping. We're worshiping God. We come here to worship God because, number one, we love God. We belong to God. And God requires us to serve Him and to honor Him. And we come to church on Sunday night, Wednesday, to worship. And I try to break it down even when I'm teaching Wonder Church with the little kids. I tell them there's three ways that we worship God. We worship God by prayer, we worship God by singing, and we worship God by giving. Three ways. And you can ask the kids downstairs. They'll tell you. They know, because I say it every time I have them. I say the same thing over. I said, the only difference between us worshiping downstairs and the adults worshiping upstairs is about 10 feet. They're 10 feet higher. You have to develop an appetite. If you're putting junk in, there isn't going to be any room for the good food. If you're eating junk food, there is no room for the main course. So you got to get your priorities right and your understanding right with God. Otherwise, you just come here and you leave, and you come here and you leave, and it just goes on forever. But there has to be a reason. And that, of course, is between you and God. And, you know, we worship God alone. We can do it privately. But when we come to church here together, we are the church, the people, we're worshiping God together. God likes that. That's why God invented the church, that we get together. And we belong to a New Testament Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. We believe every word of the, just like Jesus. Jesus is a Baptist. He got baptized just like we get baptized. And by the way, he believes every single word of the Bible. Because he wrote it. Somebody said to me, do you believe every single word in that Bible? I said, yes, I do. I said, Jesus does. See, God is a spirit. And as we read here this morning in John, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit is from your heart. You're worshiping God in spirit. You have the right attitude. Prayer is an attitude. And when we're worshiping God and we pray, it's our attitude toward God. You either have a right attitude or you have a bad attitude, one or the other. And you decide what you're going to have. You decide if you're going to listen, but you have to make those decisions. You just can't come in here out of habit and say, I'm going to get something and not be focused. You have to be focused on the Savior. You have to be focused on God. You know, I grew up in a church, a Roman Catholic church, and I went every Sunday. My parents went every Sunday. And every time there was something happening, every time there was a service, I was there. And I always wanted to know about God. But I just kept hearing the same thing over and over and over again. If you missed it, you figured, well, I didn't miss it. I know exactly what happened. There was nothing new. Every time, and that's not to say that you read a different scripture each time and there's a different message each time. And I'm not belittling anyone. But I'm just saying that the way you worship God is between you and God. It comes right down to it. Whether we do it together, like we are today, or whether you're doing it privately. It's important to God. God wants our worship. He wants our adoration because he owns us. He made us. And if you think about it, we don't own anything. Everything that we have here in this earth, God has given it to us to use. We're not taking any of it with us. We're not taking one single thing with us when we die, except the people that we lead to the Lord that get saved. That's the only thing we can take. And when you pray, there's an attitude of prayer. It's being humble. It's a matter of, you have an attitude of gratitude. It's not like Jesus uses the example, a man came in and said, well, you know, I'm not like all these other men, do all these things. He said, I give, I come to church, I do all these things. Well, Jesus said he already got his reward. But the man who came in and beat on his breast and stood in the back and said, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. There's a difference between those two. And it's the attitude. Yeah, we're not deserving. We need to be humble. God said, I'll lift you up. So we worship God in spirit and truth, from the heart and in truth. That's according to the Bible. That's according to God's word. That's the truth. Number two, singing. Singing sets the mood for worship. When the choir starts, it sets the mood before the service. When we sing hymns, it sets the mood. Just like lighting. If you go to a restaurant, the lighting or music, it sets the mood. And we're not, listen, worship isn't about entertainment. Some people seem to believe they go to church for entertainment. They want to hear somebody sing, they want to be entertained. Because we're used to being entertained wherever we go. But we're not here to be entertained. We're here to worship God. God likes to hear music. God likes music. We had a picnic, a Memorial Day picnic. And I get to cook hamburgers and hot dogs, which I don't eat. They got the right guy there because I'm not eating any of the final product. But they smell good. And that, when you think about it, that smell of all that food that's cooking, it smells good to us. And our prayers and our worship and our singing is like it's an odor, it's a sweet smell that goes up to God. And he enjoys it. Listen, God knows everything. God knows past, present, and he knows the future. He knows our hearts. He knows everything about us. We can't hide anything from God. You have to be totally honest with God. We can fake out one another. Kids can fake out their parents, their teachers, and some get very good at it. In fact, they're experts at it. But you can't fake out God. singing sets the mood. It's not about cantatas not that there's anything wrong with that, if the idea is to worship God. And I'm just going to give you a couple of verses. One is in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. God wants us to sing. You can go out to the Old Testament, David especially. I mean, there were people at the temple that were paid to sing. That was their full-time job, was singing and praising God and playing instruments to worship God. I don't know if anybody remembers here. There should be people here who remember when Pastor Hargett used to come here on a Sunday night, usually the first Sunday of the month, I think it was. And he would bring his church, and there were, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 people with horns and trumpets. And they used to set up here, and they would play an orchestra. We had an orchestra here. And it was a way to honor God and to worship. Now, we enjoyed it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it because we like to hear it. But God likes to hear it too. And it was part of that worship service. Some of us may sound better than others. And I'm on the low end of the scale. But you know what? When I'm singing with a whole group of people who can sing, I sound pretty good. And it's not important how you sound to yourself, it's how you sound to God. And if you have a talent of singing, you need to sing. If God gave you a good, a beautiful voice, you need to sing, just like Kelly did today. When God blesses you with a talent, you need to honor God with it. That's worship. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Hey, when you're by yourself and you're worshiping God, you sing. You know, there was a blooper. You know what a blooper is? A mistake in a church bulletin. And it said, Sunday evening message is about hell. And in the same sentence, they said, come early and listen to the choir rehearsal. Did that go over? It should have been two sentences. I'm not going to explain it. The choir sets the mood. And you've heard that expression, you know, someone preaching, they're preaching to the choir. Well, of course, the choir's here all the time. It's important to God. And it's part of the way that we worship God. So I'm just encouraging you that if you have a good singing voice or you don't have a good singing voice, that you will be able to worship God and honor Him by singing. I know some people in here. Everybody needs to have a hymn book. If you don't have a hymn book, first of all, you're not going to be able to know the words unless it's up on the screens. So if it's not on the screen, if the song isn't on the screen, then get a hymn book. We have a lot of hymn books. Ushers, you need to make sure that everybody gets a hymn book. regardless of with the screen or not. Just give everybody a hymn book. If you have a hymn book, then you can open it and you can sing. Or like me, you can try to sing. James says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Psalms. The psalms, the book of Psalms, are really songs. And I've heard some of them put to music. I know when we'd go to pastor school, there was several people who took a psalm and put it to music. And they're beautiful. And it's important. It's part of our worship service. Don't take it lightly. Don't omit it. Don't leave out that part. It's too important. I can give you literally tens of 50 verses in the Bible that encourages us to sing and to honor God and to worship God by singing. Examples and encouragement to do that. And number three is giving. And this is usually an excuse for people to say why they don't go to church. Well, I don't go to church because all they ask for is money. Well, this church doesn't, and no church really needs to. When I went to church when I was a kid, they kept a record of everything that everybody gave, and they printed it and handed it out to everybody so everybody could see what everyone gave. I mean, it was ridiculous. It's between you and God.
Amen.
But God says that you need to tithe. And you hear people, when they hear the word tithe, they just lose their breath. They just get uptight over tithing. But tithing is biblical. In Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. It's a part of worship. I always use this example. I've used it many times. Jesus was in the temple, and he was with his disciples, and he said, now I want you to watch something. And this man came in, very well-dressed, very rich man, and they didn't have a plate that they passed. They had a box, an offering box. And this man took out a bag of gold coins, and he dropped them in there and went and sat down. And then a lady came in, and she went over and dropped in two pennies. Two pennies, Linda. That's all she had. Two pennies. And Jesus said to his disciples, that woman gave more than the man. They said, how? He gave all these gold coins. Yeah, but Jesus said he gave a little bit of all that he had, and she gave everything she had. She only had 2 cents, but she gave it all to God. Giving is part of worship. God talks about money all the time because where your money is, that's where your heart is. And God knows what you're going to do. God knows the future, like I said before. God knows the past, present, and future. But he wants you to see what you do. He's testing you. I always like to test little kids. They get some money, I'll say, okay, I need $2. Would you give me $2? Some little kids will do it right ahead and do it. I said, you just passed the test. I don't need it. I just want to see what you're going to do. And then they feel good about it because they weren't stingy. They gave it. And that's what God wants us to see. God wants us to see. He wants us to to worship him freely and to give to God. The Bible says that he that pitieth the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Hey, listen, if you have pity on the poor and you give them, and listen, when you give somebody something, you give it, even if the person says they're going to pay you back, you just give it like they're not going to pay you back. So that if for some reason they can't, you don't get all upset over it. You give because it's a way to honor God. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to someone, it's like giving it to me. If you have mercy on the poor, then you're having mercy on me. However you treat somebody else, Jesus said, it's the same way you're treating him. If you're stingy, then you're stingy toward God, and God is not stingy. People say, I can't tithe, I can't give, I can't afford to. Well, there's a lot of people that's true. And you know why? Because they're in debt. Our society is built, our economic system is built on debt. Everybody has a credit card. They just buy things on credit. If you want to use a credit card or a debit card, I mean, a debit card only lets you spend what you have. Or if you have a credit card, you make sure you pay it every month so that you don't let it get ahead of you. If you let it get ahead of you, then you become a debtor. And the debtor is servant to the lender. You need to get out of debt so that you can give God what's his. And it says in Malachi, I'm going to read it to you. Last book in the Old Testament. Chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. He's talking to the nation of Israel. They weren't paying their tithes. They weren't honoring God. And God said, when you don't give, you're robbing me. You know what the difference between stealing and robbery is? Robbery is when you take it by force. It's like having a gun. It's like this lady said, little old lady walked into a store. She said, I ain't got no money. I ain't got no food. I have nothing to drink. I ain't got nothing but this gun. She was going to rob the store because she didn't have anything. It's taking away from God. See, God creates in you listen, God doesn't need your money. God owns everything. But he uses money to test you, to strengthen your faith, to build your faith, and to worship him at the same time. Is anyway. People use money that they don't have to buy things that they don't need to impress people they don't like. That's what our society is like. If you missed that, I'll say it again. People spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. Think about it. Don't go out and buy something just because you think you need it, because the advertising industry has worked everything out so perfectly, they know exactly how to get you to buy something you don't need. I was with Luke one night, and we were at the McDonald's. We go there to give the gospel with Bruce, Luke saw this picture of I think it's a cherry cream pie. And he said, I would like that. And I said, okay, I'll buy it for you. And he got it, and he was having some other food there, and he ate it. And he said, you know what, Brother Joe? I said, what? He said, I'm never going to get one of these again. I said, why, didn't you like it? He said, no, I liked it. But he said it was only that big. And there's a picture in there. There's a picture, and on that picture, it's that big. You know? It looks like you're going to get a foot and a half piece of cherry, what did I say it was? Yeah, cherry cream pie. And he said, but it's only this big. You need 10 of them. They make the food in there look so luscious. And I stand there and I watch them make it. And I'm looking at what they give you, and I'm looking at that picture. And I'm not buying it, but I'm standing there waiting for my oatmeal with no milk and fruit. It has fruit, but no milk. There are a few things in McDonald's that actually are good for you. And I watched them do this. And none of those things they do remotely look like it, of what's on the screen. They paint such a beautiful picture, and it just makes it look so good that you want it. They do it with automobiles. They do it with furniture. They do it with everything. They make you think that you need something that you don't need. And the money that you spend on things that you don't need, you could pay your tithe. And I'll tell you this, and I can only tell you this by experience, is that when you give, when you pay the tithe, God will give you back more than you even gave. He always provides, always. I can unequivocally say that. And if you, and it, that's a way of worshiping God. Hey, it pays for the lights. It pays for the heat. It pays for all these things that we need. It pays the pastor. It does a number of things that wouldn't happen, wouldn't be paid, unless we all gave. If everybody was paying the tithe like they did, according to God's instruction, and according the way that God's economy was in Israel, there was no need for anything. You don't need Social Security. The church then used to take care of the people. I grew up at the end of an age where there were no nursing homes. There was the poor farm, where if you had absolutely nothing, the county had a place for you to stay. And they were self-sufficient. That was a farm, literally it was a farm. They raised their own cattle. They had their own milk and eggs. They had chickens. All the food, everything was done there. And it provided a place for people who had nothing. They may have their relatives. They may not have had any relatives. They had no place to go. But other than that, it was the church who took care of the people. And when you got older, your family took care of you. Now, I realize today there are some afflictions and some conditions physically that you need 24-hour care. But back then, the family gave the 24-hour care. I don't know how I got on that. It's giving to the poor. See, over and above the tithe, there's the offering. That's what you give over and above the tithe. Is that blowing on you, that air conditioner? You shut that air conditioner off, please. I know it. I can tell by the look on your face. Yeah. It's not comfortable. So, giving is important. It's part of worship. It's something that God requires. You don't have to do it immediately, but you start to work into it. You start to get your finances so that you can afford to give to God, because you can't afford not to. You say, what's the tithe for? It's to give back to God the air he's letting you breathe.
Yeah. Hey. Amen.
And he's testing you. And he's building your faith. And he's building your trust in him. And when we have faith in God and we trust God, then we are worshiping God. That's what we're here for, is to worship God. It also says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Hey, listen, if somebody's in need, you don't say, well, come back another time. You take care of it. Hey, listen, if we don't do that, we're hypocrites. We are hypocrites. If we say we love God and we see somebody in need and we don't take care of them, we're hypocrites. Jesus said, you deny them, you're denying me. It's very clear. There's nothing complicated about this. It's very simple. And worship is very simple. You pray, you sing, and you give. And you focus on that. And it becomes something that's not just a habit. It's something that you want to do because you are appreciative of what God has done for you. Hey, God saved you. You're not going to hell if you're saved. Don't you think it would be nice to thank God for that? You say, well, I thank God every day. I pray every day. Yeah, well... Come to church and thank God with everybody. That's what God wants us to do. We come on Wednesday night. It's prayer. It's prayer meeting. What do? We pray. Some churches don't pray. Some churches don't even have a Wednesday night service. They just keep cutting God out of their schedule because they're too busy. If you're too busy to worship God, you're just too busy. You know, it's encouraging for me to be able to stand up here and see people here, the same people, over and over again. It's good to see that people are faithful to come to church. Hey, now, if you're sick, if there's something, you know, you can't do it, well, that's fine. It's understandable. God knows that. But if you can be here, you need to be here. It's important to God, and God will bless you. I used to say to our boys, just do something that I can reward you. That's what blessing means. It's like a reward. Do something. Do something good. And then I have no choice. You realize that? You have a child, and that child does something for you that you just may not even expect him to do it. And what happens? What do you do? You want to give them something. You want to reward them. They clean their room, or they don't have to clean their room because the room's cleaning all the time. You want a reward. It's the same thing with God. It's no different. When you do something that God likes, He wants to reward you. He said He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hey, if you come to church, you're being diligent. That means you mean it. And we're not coming here to impress other people. Your reason to be here is to worship God and to honor Him. And you can come anyway. You don't have to be. Some people say, well, I can't come to church. He said, I don't have a suit or I don't. You don't need a suit. But you put on the, if it's a T-shirt and that's the best you've got, well, then you just be here. Worship is the key word. Prayer, singing, and giving. Focus on it, and don't forget it. It's the most important thing that we do. It shows God we love Him, and we honor Him. I'll finish this in 1 minute. I use the acrostic, A-C-T-S, Acts. A is for adoration. C is for confession. T is for thanksgiving. And S is for supplication, our supply, what we want, what we need. When we pray, if we use that as a guide, we don't leave anything out. We're not praying and not thanking God because the T is there to remind us. We're adoring God, we're confessing our sins to God, we're thanking God, and then at the end, we're asking God for what we need. We're putting God first. And it's not a theory, by the way, it's a fact. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that